Okay, now moving on to our last guest today in the writer's room. I'm going to be talking to Patrick Wise Jackson, and he's written a book, Introducing Paleontology, A Guide to Ancient Life. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Sean. Good afternoon.
Congratulations on the book, anyway. It's a lovely book.
Thank you.
There's very nice illustrations. And first of all, I mean, I presume that this was aimed at a general audience as well as people that are already interested in fossils and do it for a living.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, my intention at the outset was to write a book that was heavily illustrated in colour for the general public, but also for students in various universities taking paleontology and the study of fossils sort of from first principles. So aimed at a number of audiences.
Okay, and there is, of course, sorry, you're the curator of the Geological Museum, I should have said at the outset, at Trinity College. I got tongue-tied there. So a lot of the, or some of the fossils anyway that you mention or that are pictured here in this lovely book, they are bait. You can see them in Trinity, can't you?
Yes, you can. What I did was I picked particularly good specimens, beautiful specimens that we have on display in the museum, so that if your listeners or readers wish to come and look at them, they can see them in the flesh, so to speak.
Okay, just tell us about the museum then. If they wanted to go in, any member of the public could go in and visit the museum, how would they find it, or what's the opening hours?
The museum is open here in the middle of Trinity College, in the middle of the campus, in a building called the Museum Building, and when you get in there, the museum is on the top floor, and we're open Monday to Friday from 10 o'clock in the morning till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it is free, and if groups wish to come in, they can always contact me via the webpage.
Okay. What's your webpage? We might as well give that out.
Well, I can give you my email address.
Yeah, sure.
Which is wysjckn, for Norman, p@tcd.ie.
Okay, right. Now, just moving on to your book. So you've divided it up into sections. And one, you talk about the whole science of paleontology, which is the study of fossils and how it began, etc. So maybe give us a little bit of background. I mean, how long is this science of paleontology around? And, you know, I suppose it developed from the days of amateur collectors into a professional endeavor.
Well, it did. Geology as a subject has been around, say, for 200 years. And paleontology is a distinct branch of that. Now, in sort of medieval times and right up to the 1800s, people believed sort of a folklore associated with fossils. So certain types were loaves of bread left behind by fairies, or they were thunderbolts from heaven. But by the 1800s, scientists and men of science started to describe these fossils, and they began to understand that they were, in fact, the remains of organic life.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1800 onwards, as the science developed, we got large numbers of descriptions of fossil types. And then probably in the last 50 years or so, paleontologists started looking at them in terms of where they lived in the past, what was the environment like, how did these fossils, how do they operate as living organisms?
Mm-hmm.
What I like doing is not simply considering them as lumps of stone, but what can we tell about the mode of life of the animal that maybe created the skeleton that was subsequently fossilized?
Absolutely. And some of them are just, like, I'm looking at one image here in your book, which is a footprint of a dinosaur, which is amazing looking at it. You can see it very, very clearly, and a real dinosaur left that very clear footprint. So that's fascinating, isn't it? Really triggers the imagination.
Well, it does, and you can take it where you can look at this object and say that is a beautiful object, but you can actually use that object to demonstrate things like how heavy the dinosaur was.
Okay.
How fast was it moving across the sediment?
By measuring the distance, say, between the steps, or, you know.
That's right. And for example, if I was to walk along a beach, I would leave a footprint in the sand. If somebody lighter than me walked across the same beach, they'd leave a less of a footprint. So by doing that, you can actually get an estimate of the size of the animal. So it's a more dynamic, and I like to think of paleontology also not only looking at geology, but really looking at the biology of the past.
Sure. Now, let's be a little bit parochial. I know your book is much broader than that, and it could be read anywhere, literally. You know, it's looking at all specimens from all over the world. But here in Ireland, is there much interest in collecting fossils?
Well, there are a number of places where you can see lovely fossils. That said, there is legislation to protect many parts of our sort of scientific heritage. So I wouldn't actively encourage people to go around with hammers removing large numbers of fossils.
But you do have in your book, you know, if somebody is interested, you kind of give them ways where they can collect and study fossils and do it in the proper way.
That's right. There are places you can go. But although you would need to check with the local authorities, you would need to check with landowners that you are free to go onto the land and look at fossils as well. And I would encourage people, if they do that, simply not to over-collect, you know. And we have people who occasionally will come in with large numbers of fossils where maybe one or two might have been perfectly sufficient for them.
Sure, sure, to be aware that it's, you know, not to cause damage or... Yeah, to have respect for what they're collecting.
That's right. Yes.
And you can also, as well as the creatures like dinosaurs and the very large boned creatures, if you like, you can find the remnants of, you know, very soft creatures such as sponges or various types of worms and things like that. They often, or not often, but they occasionally leave traces behind, don't they?
They do, and this is an area of the science that people have become particularly interested in. So if we can understand how animals decay, we may be able to understand how they may have been preserved in the past. And there are some classic localities in British Columbia where we've got some very early fossils from about 500 million years ago with loads and loads of soft-bodied organisms that were buried rapidly in sediment, and there was no oxygen in the sediment, so they tended not to decay, and the traces are left preserved in a film of, I think it's clay.
Mm-hmm.
And these soft-bodied organisms, you wouldn't normally expect to find them, but they are fascinating because they actually tell us the full range of organisms that lived in the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think you can imagine if you go down to the beach at the present day and looked at all the soft-bodied organisms and counted the number of those that had shells, the chances are those with shells may fossilize. Those without shells and are soft won't.
Yes.
So those would ultimately usually disappear. And in the fossil record, you tend to get a biased record with the soft parts, with the hard parts, rather.
Sure, it's like, old wooden buildings. They don't survive very well. It's kind of something similar maybe to that.
That's right. Yes, good analogy there.
Well, listen, sorry I don't have more time to talk to you, but I would recommend this book highly. It looks great, apart from anything else. There's some fabulous colour imagery in it, and it's a good read as well. And it's... The price, $13.85. I got it for. I think it's in Hodges Figgis anyway, in Dublin, if anybody wants to buy it, probably in other shops too. So thanks very much for coming on, Patrick.
Thank you, we're delighted.
Okay, that's Patrick Wise Jackson. He's the curator of the Geology Museum at TCD. He was telling me about his book, Introducing Paleontology, A Guide to Ancient Life.